With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here today with a Crystal Palace update, speaking, of course, to the wonderful Jay, who you can find on Twitter at The Eagles Beak, which is, of course, his site, which talks all things Crystal Palace. And I hear there's some new developments on the site, which we'll catch at the back end. But Jay, I don't want to have to start off on a negative thing, but things are a little bit weird at Crystal Palace at the moment. So we talked for at least 2 years about when the Roy Hodgson era was going to end. You probably needed a little bit more of a new era, a bit of a revolution there at Crystal Palace. But you know what they say. If you're going to let go of a manager, you need to have somebody ready to step in that you perceive to be better. Now, it seems like you, much like myself and Tottenham Hotspur, didn't really quite live up to that expectation. Obviously, a lot of names being bandied about. You finally end up with Patrick Vieira, who, side note, I actually got to interview. But that to the side, what have you made of the departure of the Roy era, this huge period of question marks, and then it finally ending with the hiring of Vieira?
Oh, hello, Kevin. It's great to be back on the show. So many questions. Well, let's start with Roy Hodgson. I mean, Roy came into Palace at a very difficult time. A lot of Palace fans wanted us to get rid of him sooner than perhaps has happened. But to be honest, I thank Roy for everything he's done. He's done a great job at Palace. He's given us a lengthy period of stability, which, you know, is something you don't often get the opportunity for in football at any level, let alone Premier League level. So yeah, Roy's done a great job for us after the infamous arrival and quick departure of Frank de Boer, who is now also out of a job as we speak.
Thankfully, so as a supporter of the Dutch national team.
Roy's done a great job. Did he stay longer than he was probably needed? Question marks by that. I think he'd done a great job throughout. Some of the football was a bit questionable in terms of very defensive, but this past season you can even say it was very defensive because we leaked a lot of goals. So it was the right time for Roy to go. I think, just thinking back now, it seems like a long time ago when the season finished, or the season was still going on, and it was announced, I think, with one game to go, I think it was, that Roy was, or 2 games to go, actually, because I think our second to last game was a home game, so there was opportunity for fans to go, minimal fans obviously, to go and obviously bid Roy a fond farewell and thank him for his hard work, because I mean it's not easy, Premier League manager. It's, you know, there's, you know, with fans on your back and social media now, and everything being now, you know, everything's got to be immediate. Every win's got to be immediate, and that kind of thing. We know what that's all about. So it's got to be difficult. So Roy, great job. Massive thanks to him. There's obviously got to be some sort of plan, because, you know, Roy wasn't getting any younger. You know, there was going to be a time where he's going to, you know, call it quits, and whether he's going to move on to something else or another job. There was suggestions that was going to be it for him management-wise. That remains to be seen, I guess. But you know, plans have to be in place at Palace, at a club like Palace, to actually, you know, going into a very important summer. You know, it's been well publicised how many hundreds of players we've got out of contract in the summer. The list seems to grow every time a media source reports it. I think the last count there was 14 players, and that's not including any academy players. So 14 squad players out of contract, which is not a great position to be in. Having said that, it's a good position to be in if you're bringing in a new manager and having a clear out which I think is what the view or was always going to be. Now, we're not the only club, as you know, Kev, that have struggled to appoint a new manager this summer. It's been It's been a very odd summer, and I can't put my finger on why. You know, Spurs struggled, Everton struggled. You know, Everton lost their manager very quickly overnight, pretty much. So, you know, they're in a different position. Obviously, Spurs were never going to keep Ryan Mason as boss. So, you know, they probably had a bit of time to do their homework. But it looked very much like Spurs and Palace were in a very similar position. And I'm not saying, you know, both clubs were looking at the same quality of manager because... It's a very peculiar summer because obviously Palace had their targets. There's no doubt about it. I'm not pretending to come on here and say that I know what's been going on because I don't. You hear whispers and stuff like that. So it's clear to me that there were targets for the club, but obviously some of those targets were already in jobs. Now, you know, we're talking of the Sean Dyches of this world. Now, he's a manager who has been offered a job before at Palace, turned it down. He's a manager I always expected to be a Palace manager sometime. I think he fits the mould of the type of manager that we've had over the last, well, since we've been in the Premier League, let's face it, other than the Frank de Boer failed experiment. I think all the other managers, you know, Sean Dyche is a younger version of the likes of Allardyce, Hodgson, Pardew, you know, those kind of moulds of players, Pulis even. I think he's got Premier League experience. So I think he, you know, understandably was quite high up the list. You've also got the likes of Eddie Howe who was out of a job. And I think, you know, people like that were the ones that Palace were looking towards. Now, for whatever reason, negotiations this summer have been even more difficult than any other time for managers. I don't know whether that's because of the pandemic or whatever. But I think Palace have had that really difficult position where actually, yeah, we've got our targets. We know who we're going to approach. We know who we're going to talk to. And then all of a sudden, they have their eye turned by somebody else. Now, the big one was Nuno from Wolves. Now, it was announced that he was going to be leaving Wolves with a game to go in the Premier League. And that clearly Palace thought, well, that's interesting. You know, we'd like to have a piece of that. We'd like to chat to him. And that's what Palace did. You know, they approached Wolves. They approached Nuno, had a couple of weeks conversations with him. And yeah, that turned our attentions to actually a caliber of manager that, I mean, no disrespect to the likes of the managers that we were looking at, but a caliber of manager that's done well in the Premier League up until last season and would be quite an interesting appointment at Selhurst Park. As we now know, talks kind of fell through. There was all sorts of demands being made and Palace decided to not waste their time any longer. And as it turns out, he's now your boss, Kev. So as you alluded to there, you know, I mentioned that I never expected Palace and Tottenham to be going for the same caliber of manager. But as it turns out, and you know, I don't think this is a Spurs thing, I do wonder whether Nuno was actually looking for a bigger job than Palace and kind of, you know, looking at the options available to him and what interest was out there. So yeah, that turned Palace's eye and that wasted a number of weeks of conversations and deliberations and that kind of thing. And then kind of out of the blue, Palace had their kind of eye turned again. You know, they were getting back on the same trail of manager they were looking at. Obviously, I didn't mention was Frank Lampard. We're expecting him to be one of those candidates. And then Lucien Favre's name cropped up. Former Borussia Dortmund manager, yeah. Very highly rated across Europe, a very good manager from Switzerland, managed at Nice, I believe, as well, and across Europe. So that, for me, was probably more exciting than the talking up of Nuno from Wolves, and that really got the mouth watering a fair chunk because I followed Borussia Dortmund for a fair while. Enjoyed his time at Dortmund. It wasn't a lengthy time, but he worked well with young players, brought young players through, which Borussia Dortmund have always done, you know, very successfully. And for a club like Palace, you know, no disrespect to my own team, but to be linked with somebody of that caliber was even more exciting. As it turned out, again, another few weeks of wasted time. As it turned out, he was offered a contract, very much like happened to Nuno. And the rest is history. He felt that it wasn't the right time for him to go back into management, and you know, that's probably, combining the two, that's probably a good 6-7 weeks wasted on two managers that showed initial interest and ultimately couldn't get them across the line.
And so the latter was so weird, just saying that his heart wasn't in it and that he's just not going to manage this year.
Yeah, very peculiar indeed. So you can probably understand that, you know, there's a mixture of feelings out there from Palace fans in that, A, we've been messed around. You know, Palace have done the right thing by trying to get a better caliber of manager in, which I'm on that kind of fence. I understand why the attentions have been turned by, you know, targets that probably weren't in the range at the time of originally looking for a manager, but rightly so. They reached out and spoke to these guys, and I don't have any issues with that. There's been a lot of targeted comments to the club and Steve Parish about, actually, you know, the length of time it's taken to get a manager. But, you know, when you go through the process with two, you know, one manager, let alone two, and you know how long talks take, and, you know, it's not just like one quick conversation over Skype or whatever. You know, we know for a fact that Palace are talking to Nuno for a good 2 or 3 weeks before his agent got involved. So that's another week on top of that, probably more. Favre was very similar. That was at least 3 or 4 weeks before, you know, the offer was in and he made a decision. So yeah, it's been a tough summer from that perspective. And obviously in a summer where we've got so many players out of contract, we needed to hit the ground running, really. So, and that's when the latest name comes up. So obviously Palace have now made it official. Yesterday, I believe it was, finally, Patrick Vieira, the former Arsenal midfielder, French World Cup winner, French Euros winner, I believe.
Annoyingly decent guy.
He comes across as a very good character. Whether it's good enough for management, I mean, he's managed at NYC in the MLS under the guise of Man City.
Yeah.
He obviously coached at Man City, so, you know, it's not as if he's worked with frauds in the footballing world, is it? Let's face it, he's worked with quality people, quality organisations. He had a stint at Nice in Liga. So and did okay with Nice. So it's going to be interesting. It's a bit of a left field appointment, I think. But I think, you know, a lot of fans are dubious. But I'm quite excited to see how things are gonna pan out. You know, he's a very much respected former player. You know, a lot of people know him. A lot of people know what he's won and what he's done. You know, with Arsenal and France. Obviously, in the early stage of his management career, it's really intriguing, and a lot of opposition fans are laughing at the appointment. A lot of media people are quite inquisitive, you know, as are a lot of Palace fans. So I'm really intrigued to see how it goes. You can probably understand my nerves a little bit, Kev, after the Frank de Boer experiment,
of course,
as it turned out.
Which I was super supportive of, by the way. I wanted him over Poch. So why anyone listens to this show, I'm not sure.
Exactly. But we know that Frank de Boer, you know, is a difficult character to deal with. We knew that when he came in at Palace. And as it turned out, he comes across as a very stubborn individual. Now, whether that's to do with his success as a player and, you know, trying to convert that into football, we've seen what has happened to his management career since he left Palace. You know, it's not been great, is it? Let's face it. He dabbled in the MLS. He's obviously dabbled. How he got the Holland job, I'll never know, but he's no longer in that.
Because he has a Dutch last name?
True. Yeah, and he's obviously an icon of Dutch football. So, you know, that's kind of what happens. So,
but for reference, the next choice for who replaces him is probably Louis van Gaal for a third time. So there's a very limited group of names that gets considered for that job. Yeah,
totally right. So so here we are, having just appointed Patrick Vieira. He was at a training ground today, and, you know, we're going to watch with a lot of interest, because it's going to be a busy few weeks leading into preseason friendlies and obviously leading into the season, which kicks off in, what is it, 5 weeks' time, I think it is. So, that's been Palace's summer. It's not been any more exciting than that, because there's nothing to speak of in terms of players. I think the only players, we've had a couple of contract renewals. Benteke signed a new contract, which is really good news for us because he had a great second half of last season, kind of coming back to his best. So I'm expecting a few of those contracts, contract rebels, they're not rebels because their contracts have ended. Some of these expired contracts to be signed up again. The likes of Andros Townsend, I like to see stick around. Whether that's, you know, whether he would be in Vieira's plans, I don't know. But I think the other big one is Wilfried Zaha. There's always a question mark about him every summer, every January. I think it's always happened every, you know, for the length of time I've been on this podcast, Kev, hasn't it? We've always had a conversation every summer.
Actually, he did leave and then came back. He did leave.
So, obviously, we know Wilf is a big Arsenal fan. He will know Patrick Vieira from being a fan of the club. So, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe he might stick around. If he sticks around again, you know, for this season, I can't see him going again. I can't see him going. He's 28 now. He's turning 29 during this season. You know, where I think if he's going to go, he's going to have to go this summer. But time's running out. You know, Vieira's in. If Vieira says to him, right, I want you to be the main guy, we'll build a team around you, which I fully expect him to do, then, you know, there's no reason for Wolf to go anywhere other than if he wants to win things. But, you know, he probably should have gone before now anyway.
Well, not to dive into this too much, but you did lead directly into it and made the segue too easy, so it's kind of on you. But I feel like it, not just in the managerial way, but in the star player questioning if they want to be their way, Palace and Tottenham in a very similar situation this year. Obviously, the players' feelings need to be taken into account, but as a club, with how many players are out of contract, with how thin the squad is in total numbers right now, are you considering selling Zaha to fund the rebuild the same way I think Tottenham are having to think a lot about whether we want to try to continue this current cycle or sell Kane for the rebuild that'll follow?
It's a very good question. I think if we obviously were serious about the likes of Nuno coming in and the likes of Favre coming in, if they both had contract offers on the table. Yeah, I really do think so. I'm not saying Vieira is not a great appointment, but I think there are a few reservations about him because he is a young manager. But, you know, he's going to have to prove himself. But he knows the Premier League, so that's going to be interesting in itself. But I think offering a job to Nuno and offering a job to Favre would mean a sizable transfer budget, considering the situation we're in with our squad. I think that would have to have been on the table. You know, we've lost the likes. We've lost a number of players, or will lose a number of players whose contracts were rather large and hefty. Not naming too many names, but Mamadou Sakho, you know, his wages weren't cheap for the player that didn't play very often. So that's one large wage bill off of the table. You've got the likes of Wayne Hennessy and Connor Wickham. Now, we're not talking, you know, massive international star players or anything like that, but actually they've been at a club a long time, so their salaries, you know, would have been up there, I suspect. So, you know, you've got a few big earners off the wage structure, and, you know, there's some gaps there. There's some sizable gaps there just in terms of personnel and wages. So I think that can only be a good thing for us. But I think if we were serious about the likes of Nuno and Favre, then there would have to have been an amount of transfer budget for this summer because of the overhaul that the club needs. And this is why there was just no sense in actually offering Roy another contract, another year, because what's the point? You know, you've got 12, 14 players out of contract this summer. What's the point if Roy comes in and goes, I'll give you a 2-year contract, and he brings in his own players for him to go next summer? Just pointless. It's just it's been done the right way. You know, Roy's done a great job for us, but actually now's the time to make that break, and let's try and do something. You know, give a new manager an opportunity. You know, a lot of people have said to me, well, that's not an attractive proposition for any manager. I don't understand, because, you know, it's a clean slate. You've got an opportunity to bring in people you want to bring in, rather than having to wheel and deal. You know, if you don't want any of those 12 players that are out of contract, get rid of them. You've got a blank slate there to bring in players. And while that's hard work, bringing in that amount of players, and it's probably never a good thing to have that many players come into a club in the summer, I would see that as an attractive proposition for any manager to, you know, because a lot of the hard work's already done for them because the decks have been cleared pretty much. So, yeah, it's an intriguing one. The rumours are there that there's an £80 million transfer budget available. You know, we have two American owners along with Steve Parish who haven't pumped a lot into the club. They have pumped money into the club to help build the main stand, which is still going through all the, you know, the building applications and that kind of thing. So that's very long-winded and long-running. But, you know, this was coming. You know, we're a club. We've been a football club that have never really sold our players. And it was no secret that, you know, our squad was the, I don't know how many times I said it in the Premier League last season, the oldest 11 on the pitch, you know, this season sort of thing. But, you know, we've bought players and we've kept hold of them and they've done jobs for us. You know, you can name a number of players in the Palace side who we've always gone for players with Premier League. But for the most part, when you look at us compared to some other clubs, you know, that first couple of seasons we were up, we changed our transfer strategy and that, right, we're going to bring in players that have got experience in the Premier League and they've been with us for some time, you know, that, and they've aged together, really. So that's no bad thing. But actually, you know, when they age together and get to a certain point at the same time, that's where we find ourselves at the moment. I mean, I guess you could point fingers at a club for letting a club get themselves into that position. But, you know, nobody knew the pandemic was coming, you know. I think that made things a lot more difficult for football clubs. We know, you know, the money in the game has proven to be a fairly more, you know, we're obviously talking millions of pounds here, but, you know, football clubs cut their cloth accordingly, don't they? And obviously things have changed over the last 24 months at least, haven't they, really, when it comes to finances and that sort of stuff and the outlook. You know, the outlook is still a fair question, really, question mark in the air. You know, there's a reason why, you know, those top six clubs in the Premier League had their eyes, you know, had their attentions taken by the European Super League. And, you know, while I didn't agree with it, you know, the money involved in it, those clubs would have, you know, had the dollar signs or the pound signs in their eyes, you know, when they're offered that sort of thing. Come to this, you know, Super League and you'll be guaranteed, what, 300 million a year or 350, whatever it was, you know. So
yeah, and we're really struggling without that.
Well, this is the thing, you know, I think a lot of people are actually, you know, thinking, ah, these clubs will be fine, they've been, you know, no problem. But actually, you know, look at Spurs, you know, built a brand new stadium and then all of a sudden you've got nobody to go into these grounds for two seasons or pretty much, you know. And that's you know, that's difficult. It won't pay for itself. This is the thing. It's the same for all these clubs. And, you know, the clubs in the lower echelons of the Premier League rely on that money coming in every season, you know, rely on the fans coming to grounds, full houses, whether it's like Palace 26,000 each week, every home game, that's 19 home games. That's a fair chunk of money when you think about it. When you're paying the wages of players that, you know, you are paying for the Premier League, you know, we're not paying the likes, you know, players like Liverpool are or Man City. I'm not kidding myself there, but actually you'll be surprised how much clubs like Palace pay their players while they're in the Premier League. I think it'd be surprising to a lot of people. So it's been difficult. I think there's a lot of different things that have evolved over the last couple of years that have brought us to the position we're in. And I think it says a lot that, you know, not just Palace, you know, Palace do often take a time sometime to deliberate over a manager. But, you know, Everton and Spurs have done the very same this summer. They found it very difficult to negotiate with managers coming in and took a fair chunk of time to actually get somebody over the line. So I'm glad it's not only us.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, and as you say, it certainly wasn't. And I do think there's an element of musical chairs where it was just Everton, Tottenham, and Palace. Who were you talking to the last few days before preseason started? And they all realized PR-wise, not having a manager when preseason started is not a particularly good look.
No, not at all.
You mentioned Vieira there. And I do think a lot of people are underselling his credentials. This is not, you know, for example, a Lampard, where you're just going to somebody who has a big name, was a huge profile that has just stepped into management. As you mentioned, Vieira has already been at New York City FC, which fortunately I got to cover a couple of times, in New York for a couple of years. He was already at Nice for a couple of years. Now he joins you. From the external perspective, I totally get the hesitation to view this as a good move. But I think what everybody's just not really verbalizing is that this is incredibly high risk, but also high upside. Where for years you kind of wanted, maybe not you particularly, but some Palace fans wanted out from under Roy, whether it be because of the play style or the lack of innovation. And now you're bringing in a younger manager that might have some of those traits. The downside might be risking the stability. So I'm curious either from you or how you feel the fan base feels. Do you think a risk is what you are wanting now of like a potential upside, even though it might cost you your kind of constant Premier League stability that you've had for the better part of a decade? Or if maybe now people are realizing that, oh, we actually enjoyed what we had?
It's a really tough question. I think there's a real mixed reaction about it. We've obviously had our fingers burnt with Frank de Boer. I mentioned that on more than one occasion. But obviously that's hopefully a one-off. The thing with Vieira is that, he was molded by Man City. You know, he was a coach. You know, they allowed him to manage at New York City, which obviously has close ties with Man City. He's worked under Pep, Brian Kidd. Yeah, had Brian Kidd working with him closely. There is a rumour that Brian Kidd might end up at Palace. He's just quit Man City. So I wonder, I'm hoping, if we can encourage somebody of the calibre of Brian Kidd. I mean, Brian Kidd is one of those people that, he's a very, very good assistant manager or coach. He was never going to be an excellent manager himself, but he's been brilliant. I know that guy has worked under Alex Ferguson, Pep Guardiola, and a number of others, and what he doesn't know isn't worth knowing in the world of football. So I think a lot of these people go under the radar off air channel. A little bit like Ray Lewington and Roy Hodgson. Ray Lewington did a lot of the work at Palace and was very highly regarded in, both his knowledge and what he did in and around the football club. But yeah, Vieira is an intriguing one. We've had a lengthy period of stability at the club, which was much needed. We've had managers come and go, managers of very similar calibre. But this is, again, this smacks very much of the Frank de Boer appointment. Left field a little bit, a younger manager, giving the manager an opportunity, never managed in the Premier League. There is a concern. There is a real concern. But actually, headed into, we've had 9 seasons in the Premier League, which is a record, consecutive seasons in the Premier League we're heading into. That is a record for Palace as a club. I never expected us to be in this position. I've seen Palace, come up to the Premier League and go back down again and that kind of thing. This is just, this experience at the moment is just not something that any Palace fan have experienced, but obviously the aged ones among us. I remember back in the day, almost, I'm going to say it because a lot of Palace fans are moaning, but almost going out of business. Less than 24 hours from going out of business, and we actually end up, a fair chunk of time later, just over 10 years later, and we're heading into our 9th campaign, consecutive campaign in the Premier League. I mean, that's no mean feat. And if people listen to this and don't understand the story behind Palace, then check out the Amazon Prime documentary, because I've relived it. Very emotional as a Palace fan to relive the whole story. But it's so lengthy to try and explain to somebody actually what Palace fans went through and what the club went through to get to where we are now is just quite incredible. It's very much underrated. So, and that series on Amazon Prime really does show other fans. And it's nice to actually hear our fans saying, we didn't realise what Palace have been through, you know, what the club went through, what the players went through, that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, and you wouldn't expect other fans to know that, but it's a far cry from that. And yep, stability is a great thing. You don't often have an opportunity to create stability in football, particularly in the Premier League, as I mentioned earlier. So Roy has given us that, but it is time for change. It is time for what might be a gamble. You know, there's no guarantees in football these days. You know, there's no way we can say bringing in Sean Dyche would have meant we'll still be in the Premier League next season, or the season after that, season after that. Eddie Howe the same. You know, there's no guarantees of any of these managers coming into Palace and creating something that might be better than Roy Hodgson, might be better than what Pardew did, what's better than Ian Holloway getting us to the Premier League, what's better than Steve Coppell and his tenure did all those years ago. There's no guarantees in football at all. So I think at the moment it's exciting, it's nerve-wracking. It does risk an element of that stability we've built up as a club. It's a huge risk for next season, I think, because, you know, we've got a very short window now between now and when the season starts, and there's a lot of work to be done in terms of getting personnel across the line, keeping some of those personnel that contracts have run out, whether or not they've already gone and signed for other clubs, that we're not hearing too much on that front. So it's probably the worst time for us to actually take a long time to actually bring in Vieira. But the noises around the club are very positive. They sound very good. You know, first day at the training ground today from Vieira. And it's an odd one. I'm nervously excited because I think it could have the potential to be something very different. You know, we give Vieira a season or two with his feet under the desk, and maybe he could actually create something that Palace fans have been thriving for the last few years. You know, we've had an exciting squad of players for 2 years now, actually. You know, with the likes of Eze coming in and showing that he can actually, this season, or the season just gone, you know, he can actually mix it with the Premier League's best. You know, he showed some real glimpses last season until that horrible injury, which we're not going to see him again until next year, unfortunately. But
next,
you know,
calendar year, next season?
Next calendar year, yeah. Mm. He's out for the rest of this year, so it's unlikely that we'll have him back for anything much before January, at least, which is a real shame. It's a bad Achilles injury, but you know, we're hearing good stories, you know, from other players that have had this injury. A Belgian midfielder at Dortmund, he recovered in about four months from it, which is really, really interesting. So hopefully Eze is a quick healer and we see him. But obviously you can't rush players back from that sort of injury because it's horrible. That's one negative for Vieri. He won't be able to, you know, get to see him perform until... but obviously that'd be like a new signing when he comes back in January time. It's a difficult one to describe at the moment. You know, Vieira's been appointed in the last, 24 hours or so. We've had all this 6, 7, 8 weeks without a manager, deliberating all the media stories and that kind of stuff. You know, is it going to be Nuno? Is it going to be Favre? And then all of a sudden the Favre one, you know, goes a bit pear-shaped and we're back to square one again. You're thinking, who are we going to get in now? That kind of thing, you know, because, you know, Sean Dyche is... Yeah, he's not going to come in because who wants to be third choice of Palace? You know? Do you know what I mean? It's going to have that kind of air about it. So, I'm nervously excited. I think there's a lot of intrigue in there. We've got a tough start to the season in terms of fixtures. That's going to play a part, I'm pretty sure. But I think the next couple of weeks are going to be quite busy at Selhurst Park in terms of ins and outs. So going to watch it very closely indeed.
Yeah, and obviously not a lot of time before the start of the season, as you said, just about 5 weeks there. And you also mentioned how thin the squad is. And I just wanted to touch on that. There were reports of how many, or I suppose how few players showed up for the first day of preseason without a manager in place. Obviously now you have one. I was just curious what your reaction and that of the fan base was to the reaction of the very few players that you have left on the books and how concerned you are about the fact that so few are there. I know you mentioned it is an opportunity for a rebuild for whoever comes in. Obviously now that's Vieira, but what was that like from your perspective?
A lot of frustration, I think. I think there's frustration with the club for allowing us to be in this position. particularly. I think with the announcement that Roy was going with one game left to, or two games left to go, I think there was a lot of, you know, consideration for actually Palace are planning here. You know, it's a busy summer. We knew there's a lot of out of contract players. They actually know that announcing Roy's going to go with two games left to play, right thing to do at the right time, bring somebody in, have enough time. We never expected us to be in this position when the players are back at training, or not at training as the case was, without a manager. So I know it's only a day or two difference anyway. You know, Vieira's there today, so, you know, it's not a huge deal. But actually, yeah, I think a lot of fans are frustrated. It's not an ideal situation, because we knew this summer was going to be critical for the club, whether Roy was still here or not. I think a lot of fans targeted this summer as being the one where Roy would move on, and that's proved to be the case. But actually, I was hoping we'd be a lot more prepared for it than we have been. And, you know, the club and Steve Parish have had a lot of negative comments sent their way. But I don't think you can blame them for having their heads turned with the likes of Nuno and Favre, really. You know, having their best interests for the club. I mean, you know, each of those appointments would have been excellent for us, I think, personally. I think Favre probably would have been a better appointment potentially than Nuno, but who knows? You know, either of those would have been a really good appointment for the club. Obviously, you know, all that wasted time, that's not Steve Parish's fault, really, the club's fault. I just think it's been a hugely difficult summer, and like we said earlier, it's not just Palace that have had this situation this summer. It's just pleasing that we've got somebody in, training's underway, contracts to be sorted out, new players to come in. I'm pretty sure discussions have involved the types of players they want to come in before announcing, you know, Vieira as the boss yesterday. So I think there's going to be a lot of hard work over the next couple of weeks for sure, leading into the preseason friendlies. But I'm quietly confident that actually we'll be ready for a new season. Vieira knows the deal. He knows the Premier League. I'm just interested to see how he's going to set things up, who's going to come in, that kind of stuff. It is frustrating. You're right. It is frustrating that we've ended up in this position so close to, you know, pre-season starting. But I don't think it's all our own fault. Yes, some of it is our fault for allowing contracts to run down, that kind of thing. I think you have to, you know, take a large pinch of salt as well, you know, from the fact that pandemic situation would have made things even more difficult. You know, are you going to offer people contracts, you know, not knowing what the summer's going to bring? You know, 6 months ago, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. So I think that throws a little bit of a spanner in the works, but we should have been more prepared for sure. We shouldn't be in this position, but we are. So we just got to deal with it.
Same. my overall reaction to all of that. Well, obviously, this seems like an insane question, given you've had a manager for just a couple of days now, and you have a lot of squad changes upcoming. Although you mentioned there is positive signs that maybe you'll get in some of your former players, because you lost, what, 4 or 5 of your starting 11 to the expired contracts? Although, like you say, going to save a lot on the wage bill from some of them. But what are your expectations coming into the season? Is it just hope for a more exciting brand of football and still stay up, or is it anything more than that?
I don't think we've had time to think about that, really. I think there was always a hope that, you know, Palace fans have been ones where, you know, looking at other teams and thinking, why can't we push on this season? Why can't we push on with a squad like we've got? You know, Eze came into the club last summer, very exciting player. You know, he's going to be a Premier League player for a long time, and it's just a shame that he got an injury. If we can keep Zaha at the club, you know, Zaha and Eze in the same team, you know, can we afford to do it? Well, we did it quite a few times last season, and we won games with both those two players in the side. So, with the addition, this is what's intriguing about what kind of players we're going to attract to the club, you know, with Vieira in charge. I think that's going to be key. I'm hopeful that we'll see a different brand of football. I understand that Vieira likes the 4-3-3 formation, which is quite similar to what we played under Roy, but obviously the tactics around that formation will be different. I haven't done my homework in terms of whether Nice and New York City were attractive sides to watch. I'm not really sure, but I know he had quite a few big egos at New York City for sure to have to manage. So you know, as that's
yeah,
the case.
Yeah, David Villa was there. I think Andrea exactly. Pirlo as well.
Pirlo, yeah. Lampard was there, wasn't he, under him as well. So hopefully he should be able to cope with Wilfried Zaha's ego that he's got at the club. So fingers crossed on that one. I think all Palace fans want is for us to try and push on and take advantage of being a Premier League club for so long. You know, finishing 14th, 15th and above the relegation zone. I mean, I think the last 3 or 4 years, we've not been under any threat under Roy. And that's what Roy's given us. You know, he's given us a stability. We've never looked one, you know, any season likely to be in that bottom three at any point, which is great for us, you know. But the next step now, and it's a difficult step, isn't it? Because we've seen clubs come and go. You know, clubs try to make that push to get to the top 10, maybe get into Europa League, maybe, and try and stretch and reach that next stage, you know, in their club's kind of future. And I think that's all Palace fans want is, you know, a bit of fun football to watch, and also to maybe push on and finish. You know, the highest we finished in the Premier League is 10th under Pulis of all managers. I mean, you know. You say we've had managers that haven't been entertaining, but Pulis got us to a 10th place finish. And, you know, some of the football we played that season was turgid, but, you know, what do you want? You know, we're never going to be a Barcelona. And I think that's what fans have to realise sometimes is that I don't think playing good football and, you know, finishing well in a season is always possible for all teams. You know, certainly not for a lot of teams. Yeah, Barcelona can't do it every season, can they? We know that. So it's a difficult one. I think fans' wishes against what is actually realistic are sometimes a little bit, you know, overstretched. But, you know, we can all dream. You know, we all want our teams to do well. We all want to see our teams win something. We all want to see our teams play good football week in, week out. It's never going to happen. But actually, you might actually have one season where you surprise people. A lot of teams have done that in the Premier League. You know, you've only got to look at the likes of Sheffield United last season, surprised a lot of people. Yes, they went down the following season, but Wolves came up and they surprised people. Villa have surprised people since they've come up. You know, last season they had a good season. So, you know, it can be done. It came in at West Ham last season. That's a good example. You know, finishing well. You know, could have threatened the top four at some point,
yeah,
but fell
Moyes,
away a little
people
bit.
Thought was going to get sacked like 2 months in.
Exactly, under Moyes. So, you know, there are teams that can do it, and I think the more different teams that do that, sets the parameter a little bit for all the other clubs like Palace. You know, why can't we do that next season? Why can't we challenge top four? And, you know, if we fall away and finish seventh like West Ham, no problem. You know, but actually, you know, West Ham had a brilliant season last season. Be interesting to see how they do next season, but, you know, fair play to them last season. They played some good football, qualified for the Europa League, actually looked like they could actually finish in the top four. So, you know, great job by them. Great job. So it is possible. And I think Palace fans watching teams do that are thinking, why can't we do that? Why can't we have a season of that? You know, even if it's just one season and we go back to, you know, that safety of 14th, 15th, you know, but... listen, it's hard to stay in the Premier League. It is hard to stay in the Premier League for clubs outside the top six. I don't think some of those clubs or fans of those clubs understand, you know, what relegation is about, what it does to a club, what it does to a fan base, what it does to the local area and everything like that. It has such a knock-on effect for everything involved. We've suffered it so many times. The last time it happened, I said I would never take it so personally again if it ever happened again. But I know if it ever happens to us again, then I'll still take it as badly as I did that time, because memories are so short with football fans, you know. So I think you have to enjoy it for what it is. I'm intrigued by the appointment. I'm intrigued by what's going to happen over the next few weeks. I'm quite excited by it, actually. You know, it's something a little bit different for Palace. It's new. But obviously the reservations are there because we had that, you know, our fingers burnt at Frank de Boer. So I'm just hoping that things are different this time. And, you know, the signs, you know, it sounds like Vieira is a very different character than Frank de Boer. He will bring his own ideas into the club, but he'll have a good nucleus of support around him, such as backroom staff and that kind of thing. So, and he's saying all the right things, doing the right things. So, Early days, I know, but yeah, this season's going to be, it might be a bit bumpy, but, you know, fingers crossed that if we can finish outside that that dreaded three for this season, then Vieira got that first season under his belt, and, you know, hopefully we can push on from there. Maybe it surprises and we push on straight away. I'd love that.
Yeah, that'd be very nice. And you do have the buildings of a pretty solid team still under contract. I'm still hopeful that Mateta comes good for you, although obviously good that Benteke recovered. Also, very sad that Benteke was warming up to come on in that Belgian match and then didn't end up getting to.
Disappointing. But... yeah, really disappointing for him. Yeah, that was a real shame. Yeah, I mean, quick shout out to Benteke. The second half of last season, he was superb. But, you know, he was fighting to get into that. I'm not being negative here. He had the Euros carrot dangling in front of him for the summer. Obviously, it didn't work out for him quite how he'd hoped. But, you know, he had an excellent second half of the season. And if we've got that to look forward to going forward, Mateta gets more game time as well without the likes of Batshuayi on the bench. I can't imagine he'll be back at Palace. Then it remains to be seen how Vieira views those players, because we all know, you know, managers have their own player types and that kind of stuff. So I think that's going to be all the learning curve for us over what the first 6 weeks of the season, see how things progress and that kind of thing, and who's going to be in the team. And so it's exciting from that perspective, because it's a very much a change from the norm for us. So exciting, nervous, all those things, but hopefully it works out for us this season.
Yeah, and as you know, definitely a soft spot for Palace, dating all the way back to when the show started and when I was writing for your site and everything. So I definitely do hope that it falls on the high upside side rather than the high risk that you've kind of played
Fingers
this summer.
Crossed.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, for all the neutrals listening to this update, just keep an eye on all of the Crystal Palace transfer news, because there's about to be a lot. or contract signings, at least.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be a busy few weeks, I think, when it comes to Palace. People are going to be bored of our name, I think.
Yep, and I'm sure a lot of Palace fans are wishing that the window closed at the start of the season, because instead I'm sure you're going to have a pretty hectic couple of weeks even after you've played your first match. But anyway, leave it there. Jay, if people want to hear more about Palace and this very interesting summer that you've already had or are set to continue to have, where can they do that?
Well, obviously our website is there, theeaglesbeat.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, so we're very active on all of those, particularly on Twitter. We also started a new podcast, so our first podcast episode was released last week. It was a review of the end of last season and looking ahead to what was going to be, always going to be a difficult summer for us. So give us a listen. If you're not a Palace fan, then you might enjoy it anyway. If you're just a football fan anyway, love to hear your feedback, and hopefully we'll have a few more of those leading into a new season, particularly now we've got a new manager. But we're going to wait and see what we're going to give him a week or two in the job, and then we'll have a chat on the podcast about that. So yeah, theeaglesbeak.com, our podcast is all over the place. It's on all podcast channels, so make sure you give it a listen. That'd be really good. And also I run a community sports radio show. It's on Meridian FM. You can get it online. You can get us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and just search the Meridian SS if you fancy something a little bit different.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Jay. Everybody listening, be sure to check out all of that stuff over at The Eagle Speak. And folks at home, we hope you keep listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.